We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Well-deserved. Like,
oh, it's a miracle.
And it would... Yeah. Being reserved still does have a place, I think, to make you somewhat mystical, you know, and that was, and Jason said this on Jason and John, and he's 100% right. Part of what made MJ so mystical was, like, when you saw him, it was a random appearance on Saturday Night Live or a TV spot.
Right. Social media.
And the mystique, that's one of the things that does suck about, because everything is ubiquitous all the time, and it's like, and we're tasked with it as part of our jobs. Like, people are asking me about these videos I make, and they're like, my boss really likes it, so I just have to do it now. You know, like, it's just part of your job. You're everywhere all the time with this stuff. Being not seen has some value.
He's had a camera in his face since he was 16 years old.
It's like, crazy.
It's crazy.
No, like, from the moment he went from Notre Dame High School, he was on the cover of Sports Illustrated. So social
Saint
media.
St. Mary's, yeah.
I've had a social media account. As soon as I met Gary, he introduced me to Twitter. That was in 2009. So we have now, what, 13 years of Twitter. And so there were only seven of that. And we probably had MySpace at the early part of.
Shout out.
Shout out to MySpace. You
know. Yeah.
So, he'll bitch about the game and the ball.
Right. So, again, if you're a Spalding fan, too bad. NBA switching to Wilson.
Story number four.
Shout out to the Grizzlies for this tweet that they put out this afternoon, because it got, like, everybody talking. If you could have dinner.
Yeah, this is good.
This is from the Memphis Grizzlies Twitter account. If you could have dinner with one Memphis Grizzly, past or present, who would it be? I'll go ahead and go first, because I know mine right off the top of my head. It's Z-Bo. He's my favorite Grizzly of all time. It's Z-Bo. You know, I'm sure it would be a lot of fun. We would pop some bottles and have a great meal and talk about him beating the crap out of power forwards and centers for his illustrious NBA career.
Who you got, Connor?
I'm going Allen Iverson. It seems like the obvious choice to me. It's kind of a cheat, but I'm such an NBA nerd. Mm-hmm. Just the stories he would be able to tell you from all the experiences that he's had. I mean, he played with literal all-time greats from the 90s, the 2000s, 2010s. Like, he scales so much time in the NBA. The stories he would have are just amazing.
I'm having a hard time paring it down, but I've picked three. My current Grizzly would be Jonas Valanciunas, because he's sort of a fisherman guy, and I think I'd want to go to, like, a more of an outdoorsy, like a patio, have a beer.
That. Yeah,
you know, axe throwing with Jonas would be a good time.
Yeah, like doing something super masculine with Jonas Valanciunas.
That,
like,
would be
as
cool.
As long as he has to have the wolf jacket.
Yeah, you'd have to have, because I've seen him in Whole Foods with his hood up, and he didn't look approachable. Of course, that was during COVID, but, like, if you brought him to, like, Axe, you know, like over there to, I don't know, the Rail Garden or one of those places,
yeah,
like outdoors, real masculine sort of outdoor bar, that would be cool. But, like, I think if I'm having dinner at Folks Folly and mm-hmm. it's like your sommelier and you're talking wines and sort of an elegant, you got to go Gasol or Shane Battier, I think.
I think Battier's a really good choice.
Battier is an outlier, because remember he used to do those, like, find my stuff around town things on Twitter?
Yeah. I love Shane, but I don't know, man. That might be a boring dinner.
Well, I don't know.
Dude, you got, like,
he's
Duke
got
stories.
Some, he could tell you, like, Miami Heat, like, Heatle
he's
stories.
He's super smart. Like,
I guess that's true.
He's got some good inside
info.
There's
stuff there.
I'm
and he'd
not
probably tell you
Shane,
about the,
I just, I
and he'd
know.
Have, like, he would be able to tell you the stories about those Wild players he was around. Like, I think it would be a fun dinner.
Okay.
Vince would be good. I think Gilbert Arenas.
Vince
would
Carter, I think,
rails.
Would be lame. I agree with Jason and John on this. I think Vince Carter would be super lame.
Why?
That boring.
We think he's a poser.
I think he'd be, oh, a poser.
No,
wow.
No, I don't want to speak for them. I think he's I want to be careful here. I think he's really good on TV. And I think he'd be just like that when he eats dinner with you.
Oh, like he'll put on his TV face for dinner.
What are the rules of the
dinner?
You
don't get the real Vince Carter at dinner.
What are the rules of the dinner? Is it that they are a complete
like
open
he's so
book?
Polished. Vince is so polished. I would just be afraid. You're like sitting down and it's like, well, how are you doing today? I'm doing fine. You know, it wouldn't be very like down in the weeds of. So tell me about that, Deion, you know, that room you built for the players that were coming by your house.
Or
and
tell
all
me about what happened in Toronto. It's
right.
My question would be, do I get an open book or is it like,
what's
are
the what are the terms?
Tiptoe around things. Exactly. That would change my answer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, cool. So By the way,
I love Vince Carter, just for the record.
Yeah, I went with Z-Bo. Connor went with Allen Iverson, and Brad went with like five different Memphis Grizzlies players. That's okay.
I'll go with Jonas is my vote for current player.
Okay, good.
I love that.
All right, when we come back, got Jeff Calkins joining me. We're going to talk to him about all kinds of stuff. We'll probably touch on some sports as well. Jeff Calkins up next. You're listening to The Gary Parrish Show. Bennett Doyle in all this week for GP. We're on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show, live on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM ESPN, with 92.9's Jeff Calkins, now and every day around 5 p.m.
Okay, welcome back to the Gary Parrish Show. Bennett in for GP all this week. I'm joined right now by Memphis' columnist, my columnist, your columnist, the Daily Memphian's Jeff Calkins. You can also listen to him every single day right here starting at 9 a.m. on 92.9 FM ESPN. Jeff Calkins, what's up?
How are y'all?
We're doing great, man. Listen, I got a lot of stuff I got to hit that you talked about on your show today because a lot of things piqued my interest. But first, let me do one that's probably a little more serious, and then we'll get to the fun stuff after that. You opened the show today on, I guess, vaccination shame, inconvenience, whatever you want to call it, in the NFL. This was related to Bengals running back Joe Mixon. Basically, he's mad about the restrictions that are going to apply to unvaccinated players during the 2021 NFL season. And here's what his quote was. The NFLPA is not for the players. They act like they represent us, and they clearly show us different time. They clearly show us different time and time again. Mixon tweeted on Wednesday. He also said, this is who y'all players want to be led by. I thought football was a team sport, and it's clearly being individualized by beliefs. And basically what he's talking about is the unvaccinated players, they're going to have to follow a way different protocol than vaccinated players. And this is going to cause the unvaccinated players to you think this might cause the unvaccinated players to go ahead and get the vaccine just so they don't have to follow these stricter guidelines as the season goes on.
Yeah, it's funny, because when I talked about this, I immediately got an email from someone who's a loyal listener, they said, who said they're weary of hearing about vaccines. So, and I'm sympathized to that. Like, we have all been through all of this for more than a year, and one of the wonderful things about what is happening now is that it's, you know, we don't have to talk about it all the time. We can, right. You know, there's games and there's all kinds of wonderful things. You can go out to dinner. You can like, well, it's great fun. I was just giving a talk to a bar association event, and you can give a talk in person now. And I'll keep it brief because I am sympathetic to that,
right.
But it kind of delights me. It kind of delighted me. If you are an unvaccinated player in the NFL, you can make that choice if you want, but they have made your life miserable. I mean, you are going to, on the team plane, be wearing a mask. You are going to have to stay in your hotel room. You're not going to be able to go to the team cafeteria and sit down and have lunch with your teammates, and on and on and on. And it just strikes me that I do think that it will, and Joe Mixon's mad about this because obviously he wanted to be unvaccinated and go about his life as normal. And the NFL is not messing around ever with anything, you know? And the NFL just said, listen, you can make whatever choice you want, but your life is going to be, they didn't put it this way, but the restrictions, if you were at all on the fence, if you were like, I just can't be bothered to get a vaccine, unless you really are, you know, way over in the anti-vax side of this somehow, it's crazy. I have to believe that this will cause, if right now it's 50% of NFL players are vaccinated, I have to believe that at least half of that number will say, you know what? I don't want to be the dude picking up my sandwich and going after practice and going back to my, you know, hotel, my room and training camp and eating it by myself. I don't want to be the person who, if I go out to dinner on the road or go see my, you know, friends on the road, just for to go visit some friends I knew from college or whatever, I don't want to be the person who's going to be fined $50,000. So I'm just going to go ahead and get vaccinated. I think it's a wonderful thing that the NFL did, and I have to believe it's going to not people aren't going to announce that, you know what, I changed my mind. I don't think Josh Allen, my beloved quarterback, is going to say, you know what, I now see the light. But my prediction is he's going to see the light. It's easier to be a team leader too. Like, you can't see with your team. Like, and I actually think the same thing's going to happen in colleges if they enact similar rules. And, in college football program. So, yeah, I was pleased to see that.
Well, it's interesting that Mixon is mad at the NFLPA because they're the ones who actually made it possible to have a choice. Like, the NFL could have just come out and said, you have to get vaccinated or you're not playing.
Yeah, but they went along with it, evidently. You know, at this point, he wanted them to stand up and say, you may not make these have separate rules for the unvaccinated. And the NFL just wasn't going to do that.
No.
I was glad that I suspect Mr. Mixon will go get vaccinated, and that will be good for all of us.
Yeah. Okay, now to important things. You had Dan Devine on. He's one of my favorite guests you guys have on every week. And y'all talked about Pixar movies because Dan, he watched them all during COVID, and The Ringer did a ranking of all the Pixar movies. And I want to just kind of go through and see, like, were you outraged by any of these, or have you literally never seen any of these movies?
So Dan is tremendous, and if you haven't read him on the NBA, read his stuff at The Ringer. He's great, and he's on with us. He's after a sabbatical, he's now on with us every Thursday, and he's great. He's great on the NBA, but it so happened that The Ringer has this ranking of Pixar movies, and unlike me, Dan said he has seen all of them.
Wow.
And partly that's because Dan has young children.
Right.
And so during the pandemic, they just plowed through all of them. You know, they had movie night, and they plowed through all of them. I, like, the number one, I'm embarrassed to say this, their number one Pixar movie is WALL-E.
Yes.
And I've never seen WALL-E.
So,
like, right off the bat, like, you know, I'm kind of at a disadvantage. Am I going to be outraged by WALL-E when I've never seen WALL-E? Now,
You've seen Toy Story.
I've certainly seen Toy Story. Did I actually see the last Toy Story? I'm not sure.
Yeah, that was number 4. Comes in at 11 on the list.
I think, you know, I clearly, like, I saw Toy Story when I had little kids, and you know, it's just so incredibly sweet. You know, and then you sing to your kid. You know, I remember singing him asleep. You got a friend in me. You know, like, yeah. And it's just the sweetest thing ever. But then by the time you get to Toy Story 4, you know, I'm kind of like the character who grows up a little bit, you know, sends his toys away. So I don't know that I saw Toy Story 4. I saw 1 and 2, and I lose track a little bit. Like, and I saw Finding Nemo. That's on there, right, somewhere?
Yeah, it's top 10. It's number 8, yep.
I never saw Finding Dory. Like, Dory's ranked in the top 25 somewhere.
Yeah, they're number that one's number 19, so further
what
down
thought,
on the list.
I thought was pretty low down the list, but I think it shows what a quality list it is.
It's a quality list. Well, all these movies are quality.
Well, I saw Brave, and it comes in like at 17 or something, and it's good. Brave's good.
So Wally was number one. You should definitely see Wally. The one he mentioned, too, that you guys talked about for a second is Coco. You got to watch Coco. That's a great movie.
It's
so good.
It's incredible.
Yeah, it was number four. It's really, really good. Now, the problem that I have with the list, though, Jeff, is
Well, go through the list a little bit.
Okay, let's go through. So I can go. I mean, there's 23 movies. I'll go through it real quick.
Just read the top 10. Read the top 10.
Okay, the top 10 is Toy Story 2, number 9, Inside Out. 8 is Finding Nemo. 7, The Incredibles. 6 is Up. 5 is Toy Story 3. Number 4 is Coco. 3, Ratatouille. 2, Toy Story. 1, Wall-E. Now, Wall-E, that is my favorite, personal favorite Pixar movie. However,
really?
However, the list, especially in the top 5, it's more of a like...
it's pretentious.
I want to be not... Yeah, it's a pretentious film nerd list.
It is.
Like, it's not like... These
what
are
do you
not...
mean? So which... Who is it... What's an example of a pretentious one that really, if we're being honest with ourselves, number 8 should be ahead of number 2? Like,
okay.
Where do they get it wrong?
Here's where they got it wrong. Wall-E's number 1, and Wall-E, while it is a great movie, it's my personal favorite Pixar movie, it is not universally beloved by people. Like I guarantee you, if you just gave
the film critics, it's the film
it's
critics
the film
Pixar
critics' favorite.
Movie.
Exactly. Like number 1, in my opinion, should probably...
Toy Story. The original Toy Story.
Because the animation got better and everything like that, like I think like you could probably put like Toy Story 3 or something like that on there. They're all good. I would probably put.
Don't you have to give credit to the one that
to
came
the original
up with
that started it?
Like,
and I think that's fine.
I don't care if the animation's a little better or whatever. The one that introduced the characters to us, you know?
Right, but like again,
to Infinity and Beyond, for God's sake.
For God's sakes,
know?
Yes. But like Ratatouille at number 3, like again, great movie. Love Ratatouille.
Yeah, Ratatouille's really good.
It's not universally loved though. Like the ones that people like love
okay,
and everybody's
universally loved.
Yeah, so like Monsters Inc. and Finding Nemo and The Incredibles and the Cars movies. Like I don't like the Cars movies necessarily.
But
so many kids are obsessed with those. My kid friggin' loves Cars. Like so many people are obsessed with those. So I think that the list is, it's not taking into account, like, the ones that are just universally loved by everybody and by, like, families and their kids.
I see. How about the other one that I haven't seen that I've always wished to see, and I think is more of a critics movie than a universally beloved movie, is Inside Out.
Oh, it's awesome!
Oh my God,
it's one of those like it's very catered to adults. Yeah, like your kid, like the kids are gonna like
genius.
It.
Genius, fantastic!
It's really good.
It's gonna rip your heart out.
Yeah, it's about like it's basically about the the different just a summary: the different emotions that you have going on in your brain, and basically like each emotion is a different character, and it literally like goes inside this person's brain, and they're all like. Working these, you know, levers and stuff.
So the ones that are the film critics. You'd call that a film critics movie, though, wouldn't
yes,
you?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, 100%.
Up is Up the same thing?
No, Up is really good.
It is really good.
Can I make a statement about Up real quick? Because I had a conversation when this came out today. My friends and I were having a conversation about Up. We need to be honest about Up. Without the first 15 minutes, that movie would not be what it is. The first 15 minutes of that movie carries. It for 2 hours, I think.
What happens in the first 15?
The first 15, it's basically it goes through a love story from the very beginning all the way to the end of this old man, and it's lovely. It's also heartbreaking. It makes you think about life. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous 15 minutes, and then the movie just kind of changes, and it's a different
thing. It's
about
what happens with the old man, right?
Right, and yeah. I think Up is a little. I think it's overrated. I really do.
So yeah, that's we kind of went through it. If you want to check out the list, that's over at theringer.com. And it's an interesting list, and all these movies are good. So just go watch all of them. So I want to get to something else very important. Ron Olson brought you some topics today, as he typically does every morning. Sometimes you use them, sometimes you don't, but he always
has. Most times I don't. Most times I don't.
Right.
I want to tell you this, Rod, but I appreciate the insight. You know, we had a we normally do trivia on Thursdays, and Kevin Cerrito's on vacation, and Ron happened to walk in, and so I'm always grateful. And I thought he raised some really critical issues that had to be addressed. So we did.
Very critical. We will start with dad bods. I think that was probably the biggest topic. And it was basically an annual poll said that dad bods are more popular than ever. And 70% of women say that the dad bod, this is obviously coming on the heels of Father's Day while we're talking about dad bods. 70% of women say that the dad bod is attractive.
That's not true.
Do women love dad bods? Like,
No, they don't.
Yes.
No, that's a lie.
No,
that's
it's not. That is absolutely true. I can tell you.
Said the guy who's 25, who's like,
who's slim, dating a young supermodel.
No. I underneath this, I'm what we would like to call skinny fat. I'm skinny fat. I got
Connor.
A gut. I eat cheese. It's way too much.
I don't know if you can speak on this, Connor.
Jeff, tell these guys.
No. Go ask any girl between the age of 20 and 30 if they would rather have a bodybuilder or a dad bod, and they're gonna say dad bod.
That's a false choice.
Thank you.
No one said bodybuilder. Yes.
Or just a ripped out athlete. I'm telling you, I will die on this hill.
No, just someone who is here. Ask any breathing female or homosexual male, like whatever. Whoever's attractive here.
Yeah, right.
Ask any person who, and give them a fit person on the left, and someone on the right with sagging breasts and a beer belly.
Right.
And you tell me which is more attractive, everyone's going to say the fit person
100%.
On the left. Yeah. You're not. It's not even.
It's not close.
This is a stupid thing to say. No one picks the guy with the beer belly.
I'm telling y'all. Google it. I'm telling y'all. It's been a thing.
People are lying to make people feel better.
That's what I think. I think it's a trendy thing. Yeah. Dad bod is a trendy word.
I totally get that women might not like someone who cares more about their body than, you know, who's obsessed with and who therefore will be critical if they eat a bite of ice cream, who make them feel bad about themselves because they have such a perfect body. I get that. That's one of the psychological things at play. But just aesthetically, no one says, give me the dude who needs a bra. You know, that's not the way it works.
Okay, I got three more of these. The second one was, I think this one's an easy solution, was armrest on a flight. I mean, I guess anywhere, but specifically you guys talked about a flight, and this is coming off a story. A flight from Vegas to L.A. had to be grounded because two dudes fought over an armrest. One of the guys, I believe, was in the middle. One was on the outside. And
did we know where? That would have to be right. They were next to each other,
right,
one way or another. This was one that was pretty. And let's be honest, this is perfect FM radio fodder. And so
that's why Ron, I brought it up.
Sure,
but this one's actually easy. There's no controversy whatsoever. The person in the middle should have both seat rests, but both armrests, because the person on the aisle has their own personal armrest and has freedom to come and go and pee and everything else, whatever they want to do without climbing.
Best seat, by the way. That's the best one.
That's easily the best one.
Easily. The aisle.
Even if you're on the inside, this is my experience.
Yes.
If I'm on the inside, even if I don't have to pee, I immediately feel like I have to pee.
No question.
You're so
right. You talk yourself into it.
So true, Jeff.
Yeah, you're trapped there. I can't get out. I must have to.
That's the worst.
God, I can feel it now. It's the worst.
It's a prison.
It's a prison. It is a prison. So, but that person at least has their own armrest, and they can ostensibly lean their head against the window if they stick a coat there or something because there's too much space between the between the seat and the window. And it's just simple then. And so the person in the middle, they don't have any other advantages. So what they get is the two armrests. And I think everyone – I don't know why there was a fight about this, because I would presume that the – two people who are scrapping, they should know the rules, that the middle person gets the armrest.
Right. No, 100%. Like, it's like you said, like the person that's got the seat next to the window and the person on the aisle, they can lean over. Like they can lean towards that outside, you know, arm rail. The person in the middle is just screwed. Like you can't lean anywhere.
Nowhere
you
got to
sit up straight.
What do you do with your arms?
Yeah,
anyway.
And
right,
so, yeah. So the compensation is you get two armrests so you can prop yourself up because you can't lean.
Clearly.
Yeah, clearly.
We all agree on that.
Yeah, okay. Yep. So last one, this one's my favorite. When you're driving, like on a road trip specifically, who gets control of the radio or the music, you know, whatever? In my opinion, is the passenger should always play whatever the driver requests. The driver should not have control of anything because they're freaking driving. The passenger has to cater to the driver and play what they request, and don't just leave it on something like for a long time. Like if they want to switch up songs.
But you're fundamentally, you and I then agree. The only thing we disagree on is the mechanics of it. Mm-hmm. We all agree that whether it's a short trip around town, you're just popping in my car and I'm giving you a lift to the wherever, or whether it's a long haul, that the person who's driving decides what is on the radio or yes. on the podcast or whatever else. And so then the person who's riding shotgun, their only role is to either keep their damn hands to themselves or to execute the wishes of the driver.
So I'll be honest, and I know my beautiful wife is listening. Some of our biggest fights have come from this exact situation.
Really?
Yeah, I can
yes,
see that.
Because we'll be on a road trip, and I'm sick of whatever's playing, and I'll be like,
and you'll be driving.
Hey, can you change it to blah blah blah? And she'll get annoyed because I'm like, you're not doing anything.
What about this though? There are a lot of, and particularly for men, although I have a sister who's just like this. They insist on driving because they're control freaks, right? Mm-hmm. But the person riding shotgun would be totally happy to drive. And then the person who, A, insists on driving also insists that because they're driving, they get to control what is being broadcast. That seems, in that circumstance, I think it's a little nuanced, don't you think?
I think that's
me. That describes yeah. me. And the way that we resolve that issue is my wife stipulates what can't play. So in other words, like I'm a Dave Matthews Band fan. So you cannot have Dave Matthews on Sirius Channel playing. You can play anything but that channel.
Well, all of this, let's be honest, it should be something that's compromised, right? No one should be playing something that is offensive to the other person.
That they hate.
Right. Or whatever.
Right. Yeah. There should be a compromise,
say,
yes.
Mm-hmm. Hey, let's find a podcast that we can both listen to, or else maybe you say, we'll listen to
Stream 92.9
for half an hour, but then we'll listen to, whatever else for half an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I think we...
I suggest, though, to put an end to all
stream
the fights. Just leave it knocked on 92.9.
There it is. Yes, sir.
Leave it locked on 92.9.
Lock it on that Odyssey app.
You'll always be entertained.
That's it.
Yep. Absolutely. Okay, so I feel like we solved the world's problems. Really quick before I get you out of here, we talked about so much NBA already, but some big news today. Rick Carlisle stepping down as the Mavs head coach. Obviously, they just fired their GM, Donnie Nelson. Luka wasn't happy about that. And then we had the Zion story in The Athletic that him and his family are unhappy with the Pelicans. That thing's a disaster. This is kind of becoming a little bit of a theme, these young, unhappy stars. Anything could happen, but I'm feeling pretty good right now where we are as Memphis Grizzlies town, right?
It wasn't so long ago that we were in the, this was the where all the bedlam was happening.
Yeah.
People getting fired, whatever else.
We were getting the Woj bombs, right?
It is sort of nice to just keep your head down and look around and see in your very own division teams self-destructing. I did think the most hilarious part about it was Mark Cuban, in response to the Athletic's report that there was dissension in the club, he retweets it and he says, "This is total BS." As he can barely hit send before his entire franchise blows up.
Right, I know. There's like another report coming out as the tweet's sending.
This is fantastic. Yeah. This is total BS.
Explosion.
Yeah, so it was just the best thing
Why
ever.
Why does everybody love him so much? He is untouchable, it seems. People love Mark Cuban, and they don't even say bad things about his franchise because of it.
Well, they like the TV show, don't they?
Shark Tank, yeah.
Shark Tank. Yeah. They like the fact that he's public. You know, he's clearly invested. In fairness, that was a crap franchise before he took over, right. And it has been a good franchise. People like an owner. You know, I don't ask this of Robert Parrish because it's
yes.
not how he's wired,
no.
But they do like an owner who's visible.
Courtside and yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so he seems like a guy that you'd be perfectly happy to hang with, doesn't
yeah.
he? You know.
Yeah.
But it is sort of hilarious when he goes out of his way to debunk a report, and then immediately we have shockwaves the next 2 days as both the GM and the head coach
right.
say, I'm out of here.
Do you think the Zion thing is just as simple as he just never wanted to play in New Orleans?
Well, I mean, sure, but I think had they made a deep playoff run this year, I think you feel differently about it. And whether that still means that he will turn down, you know, we'll see. You know, but we'll see if it means, you know, they can offer him the contract next year. And, you know, we'll see how he feels about it next year and what will happen. But there's no question that there is, when you get a young star, first of all, it's important to get a young star who is open to being in your city. I mean, that just matters. And I think it's one of the ways the Grizzlies have been lucky is that Ja, and again, I'm not saying it's forever certain that Ja will always want to be in Memphis, but he seems like a guy who is wired to be, you know, that he can be happy in a smaller market because sort of that's what he's been.
Yep.
And so, so I think Memphis got lucky in that respect. But then it's also, if you're Ja, you can look around and you say, oh, look, every time I turn around, the front office is making a smart draft pick and we're going into the playoffs now. And we're, you know, and I think you can see real progress. Whereas for Zion, you know, it's been, you know, he's had his own injury issues, but when he's been healthy, he's been spectacular, but the club stunk.
Yeah.
And so I think it makes it a lot easier to think less of New Orleans. Whereas if you were killing it, I think it, you know, it probably goes a long way to making him happy.
No question. Jeff will be listening tomorrow morning at 9 a.m.
See ya.
All right, man. That was Jeff Calkins of the Jeff Calkins Show and the Daily Memphian. I think we solved a lot of the world's problems there in that segment. And when we come back, I think we'll probably preview tonight's big NBA game coming up. And we might talk a little bit about that Pixar list as well. Who knows? You're listening to the Gary Parrish Show. Bennett Doyle in for GP all this week. I got Brad Carson and Connor Dunning here in studio with me. We're on 92.9 FM ESPN.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
To the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Step my money fast and go fast, fast, go.
Welcome back to the Gary Parrish Show. Bennett Doyle in for GP all this week. I've got Brad Carson and Connor Dunning here in studio with me. And we've been talking a lot of NBA today, obviously. There was all kinds of news related to the Pelicans and the Dallas Mavericks. We talked about those two big playoff games last night. And then I think I'm probably the most excited about this series and this game tonight more than I was last night, even though those ended up being fun games. And that is, of course, the Brooklyn Nets at the Milwaukee Bucks. Game 6, Nets win. They advance to the Eastern Conference Finals. Bucks got to win to keep the series alive. I think we're all kind of in agreement. You know, right now it is Bucks minus 5.5. I think we're all in agreement the Bucks are going to win tonight. 5.5. I think this could be a good game.
I think the Bucks will win. The line is, that's kind of high.
That's what I was saying. Like I might take a flyer. Let's freaking be honest here. Like after these past two nights, we have no idea what the hell is going to happen in any of these playoff games at this point.
Yeah.
So like, I think if you want to take a flyer on Nets plus 5.5, I'm good with that. I might go ahead and do that.
I think home court helps, right?
Yeah, like the Bucks, and like the Bucks should win, but sure. Like you said, who knows?
Who the
like
hell
they
knows?
They might be up by 30
so
in the fourth.
Jeff Green might have 30 points tonight. We don't know.
I don't think Jeff Green's going to score a point tonight. That's how inconsistent that dude is. I mean, seriously, like he went 7 of 8, I think, from 3-point in the last game. I don't see that happening. I don't see him being awesome. The thing I do see happening, the reports that came out today was that, you know, there were no disclaimers on the injury report for James Harden. So, like, you know, it wasn't.
Can he do anything?
Yeah, like, is he going to be really good now that he's had a day off in between because he was at least able to walk on a court? Now, and that's about the least he was able to do, really, get down court and, you know, a little help defense. He could kind of hover around the three-point arc and be a decoy.
That's it, though. Even if he can't move, like, can he actually hit a shot, like, tonight? Like, because, again, like,
He was
missing the other night, but he was taking shots. Like,
can his
three fall tonight? Because if it can, Bucks might be in trouble.
Let me ask y'all this: is this the biggest game of Giannis's career tonight?
It is, because it's the only one we have until you get to a seventh game, and then that'll be the next most important game of his career. So
he's got to win this one.
Yeah,
elimination game.
For Bud, like, you have to win the series at this point,
I think he's in trouble if they don't.
If you don't win the series, you get fired is what it feels like.
If they lose tonight, we'll be talking about Bud getting fired tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be assistant coach for the Grizzlies next year if he gets fired.
Right.
Possibly.
I mean, hey, I'll take
He'll be doing the guitar smash next
maybe
year.
Maybe he'll be the one doing the guitar smash, yeah. You know, I do think it, I guess you can say, it is the biggest game of Giannis's career. Now, again, they're still going to have the same team next year. Like, it's not like they're going anywhere. Like, they'll probably, if they lose the series, they're going to go get a new head coach, but they're still going to have Drew Holiday. Well, they're still going to have Giannis, obviously. They're still going to have Chris Middleton. I think that it's like one of those look in the mirror off seasons for Giannis. Like, I either got to, A, be able to hit a free throw, or B, be able to find some kind of mid-range, you know, outside shot that works for me on a consistent basis, or maybe it just kind of is what it is. Like I'm one of the great players in the league, but, like, you know, until I get one of those things, like, how am I going to beat KD and the Nets?
Right. The main reason I asked, though, is because if they do beat the Nets in this series, this is going to be the best shot that they have to win the finals with this crew. It just is.
With the injury situation on your opponents.
With the injury situation, everything going on, they are the healthiest team probably left in the playoffs, so they need to win this series.
I think that's one of the most important things in this league.
And his defensive matchup with KD tonight.
Every series I feel like I'm tweeting this because I go back to the 2013 season for the Grizzlies. The league has always had injury problems. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it's getting exaggerated because LeBron's blaming this.
It's going to happen again next season.
I think it's who it happens.
Jason made really good points today on the show, and that is, if you look specifically at it by injury, it's really important, especially during the playoffs, because you did have Kawhi. First of all, he took 20 games off. A lot of those were injury rest management stuff. And the other thing is, like, the injuries, a lot of them are, it's a sprained ankle where you step on a guy's foot. Like, they literally aren't just COVID injuries, per se, or mounting injuries, you know. Now, Harden's might be, right? But, like, Irving's wasn't. You know, that was an ankle. He stepped on a dude's foot.
Right.
I think the Bucks have the advantage that they're really healthy right now. And I think... Right? I mean, I
can't think. Dante DiVincenzo is the only guy that they have missing.
And, who gives a crap?
I know. That's a big loss for them because it changes their bench unit. It forces Pat Connaughton to play more than he needs to be playing.
It is a big.
Yeah. And Dante's a good three-point shooter.
I agree with that. I agree with that.
That's a big loss.
I haven't watched enough Bucks games to know.
Dude, they're still so loaded. Like,
when you got Chris Middleton and you have Giannis in your starting lineup, those two guys.
I just don't understand why Bobby Portis isn't playing. You need a physical body on Kevin Durant. Why was he a DMP last time? I don't understand that. I am
rooting for the Bucks, though, because to me, the super-built teams are always unlikable, so I'm really, really rooting. Even with the injuries, I'm sorry, I'm rooting for the Bucks. So I hope they win tonight, and I hope they get to a Game 7.
I want a Game 7,
A Game 7, too. It'd be so much fun.
Yeah. We all agree we want a Game 7. So we'll talk about that
I'm not taking 5.5 points, though.
Okay, I think I'm going to go Nets plus 5.5.
I think I'm going to go with Bennett. I'll go Nets plus 5.
I think that's a fair bet, but I think the Bucks
are going
to
win.
Yeah, they clear the number. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. When we come back, we're going to do Dinner to Go and get out of here. You're listening to the Gary Parrish Show. Bennett Doyle in for GP all this week. We're on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the pitch, hit, and run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Welcome back to the Gary Parish Show. It is GP's producer, Bennett Doyle, in all this week while he's on vacation. I got Brad Carson and Connor Dunning here in studio with me. And it is time, ladies and gentlemen. Let's do Dinner to Go and get out of here.
Dinner to Go is brought to you by Memphis Barbecue Company. It's Dinner to Go. What did we learn today?
Well, we learned that women don't really love dad bods, that is just a trendy phrase that people like to say in the year 2021.
I disagree.
Yeah, Connor disagrees, but me and Brad are the authorities on this, and the dad bod, women do not love the dad bod. So, guys, don't convince yourself otherwise. I've tried to, and it's just not true. We also learned that while WALL-E is my personal favorite Pixar movie, it is not deserving of number one on the Ringer's Best Pixar Movies list because it is not universally loved like other ones like Toy Story and The Incredibles and Finding Nemo and all that. So WALL-E, great movie, probably not deserving of number one on the Pixar rankings list. And then we also learned that the New Orleans Pelicans and the Dallas Mavericks are both dumpster fires. Right now, the Mavericks, we think, can get out of it, but the New Orleans Pelicans, I don't know. Zion's unhappy there. Connor just sent me something from Bleacher Report. It was from John Hollinger, and he said that if any team relocates in the next few seasons, that it's going to be New Orleans Pelicans. So that's out there.
Oh, I like to
hear that. Yeah, so things not good in New Orleans right now, and I'm sorry for the one or two Pelicans fans that are out there.
What's the biggest game tonight?
Biggest game, it is, of course, the Brooklyn Nets at the Milwaukee Bucks. Brooklyn leads the series 3-2 after that historic performance from Kevin Durant the other night. No Kyrie Irving tonight, but James Harden's going to give it a go again. He is not even on the injury report, as Brad said. Bucks are currently a 5.5-point favorite. I like Nets plus 5.5. I think this is going to be a good game, and especially if James Harden can give them something offensively tonight, I think this one's going to be really close. Could come down to the last possession. So, I think the Bucks probably squeak out a win, but I like a close game tonight. But again, who knows what the hell is going to happen. The NBA has been absolutely ridiculous the past 48 hours, so we'll see. That's the biggest game tonight.
What should I watch on TV?
The 2021 U.S. Open Golf Championship, that's about to start 6 o'clock on NBC. It is, I think we're all rooting. We were talking about this during the break. I think we're all rooting for Bryson DeChambeau and Brooks Koepka to be awesome these next few days and to be 1-2 on the leaderboard and have to be paired together on Sunday, coming into Sunday's final round. I think that would be the best thing for everybody because, again, I said it the past couple days in this post-Tiger Woods world, golf needs something exciting. And what is exciting to me as a casual golf fan is these two dudes hating each other. It is awesome.
It's funny. Even when Tiger's on crutches, they fit him onto the schedule, like filming him walking out of cars.
Oh, yeah, they're going to talk. They're going to talk about it. Yeah,
of course. Have you noticed that?
Tiger cam.
Like, you can't get away from a Tiger Woods story. Yeah. Tiger Woods is going to be a nursing home. They're going to bring a camera crew in that.
Yeah,
song.
Yeah. Brooks Koepka going to be like doing a putt for a chance to win the U.S. Open on Sunday,
and they're
going to like have a Tiger cam at the bottom right corner of just him walking to the store.
Just picture in picture the whole time.
So
they're going to feature a fight between Bryson DeChambeau and Koepka, and they're by the way, have you seen Tiger Woods? And he's in a wheelchair. He's in a nursing home. Like, they don't even care. They're just like gratuitously trying to get ratings using this stuff. I just see a tweet from your homie Jeffrey Wright, though. He said he's not trying to talk himself from rooting for Rory.
Rory must be starting out well.
Yeah, so.
Jeffrey's a big
guy.
Rory fan. Yeah, I like Rory, too.
He's a little too obsessed with Rory McIlroy, though. No, I'm just kidding.
I like Rory.
Rory's likable.
We're rooting for Bryson and Brooks, the U.S. Open about to start over on NBC. Game 3 of the Stanley Cup semifinal, Tampa Bay Lightning and the New York Islanders. That series is tied 1-1. That is 7 o'clock on USA if you want to watch some playoff hockey. 7 o'clock on AMC, Tombstone, all-time great Western movie starring Val Kilmer and Kurt Russell. Tombstone, one of my all-time favorites. I know a lot of people love that movie.
Yeah, that's good.
There you go, Connor. That's 7 o'clock on AMC. And a big Major League Baseball game of local interest. Cardinals at
Braves.
Atlanta Braves.
Yeah.
That's at 7 o'clock on Bally Sports. So you can obviously listen on our sister station, ESPN 790 AM. That pregame's probably about to start for the Cardinals. Starts at 6 o'clock. So Cardinals-Braves, I know we got a lot of fans of both teams here in town, so that'll be a good one to watch tonight.
Is there anything I need to make sure I read?
By the way, you won't recognize Gant because he got a haircut. Like, he chopped off his locks of love. So
yeah. But I should have asked you, like, how are the Cardinals doing right now? I haven't paid attention.
They're on a two-game winning streak now. Okay, they won on another walk-off by Yachty last night. He got a walk-off RBI.
Good.
They're better, but they're still only won two of their last, like, 13.
Cardinals need a win tonight.
They do.
Okay, what to read? Read that Athletic article on Zion Williamson. It sounds like things are not going well in New Orleans. We should send Zion or Luka to the East, is my opinion, in this whole thing. Like, let's get one of those guys out of the West sooner than later so we can clear our path to a Western Conference Finals soon. How about that?
If Zion wants to team up with Ja, too, I'm all for it.
If either of them would like to come here and team up, we could figure out
Luka. Could you ever figure out a deal to get that done? Yes.
Zion?
There's a way to do it.
Yeah, you give away literally everything. Keep Ja, and then just him and Zion and a bunch of G League guys.
So you'd have to be Jaren. Yeah, I guess you got
to
keep roll with Jaren as long as you can.
Hey, I think you probably do that if it's an option.
What's on tap for tomorrow?
Okay, what's on tap for tomorrow? We're obviously going to talk about Game 6 Nets at Bucks. I'm sure we're going to have more NBA news because that has been the trend all this week. I'm going to be joined by USA Today's Dan Wolkin and Grind City Media's Mike Wallace on the show tomorrow. I got Jeff Calkins. He's going to join me at 5 o'clock as always. And I'm also going to have a Dateline preview.
We still get our Dateline. Look at you working hard for the people.
We ain't going to let that tradition die. We're going to have a Dateline preview tomorrow.
Well done,
and
Connor.
Hopefully it is a good Dateline preview. So
I hope you bring the energy like you do with Gary.
I'm going to try my best. I'm going to work on it.
Are you going to do the voices and the whole deal?
I'm literally going to work on nothing but this Dateline preview from when I wake up until the show
Gary
starts
preps
tomorrow.
Gary longer for that than the rest of the show.
So that's what we're doing. We're going to keep the Dateline tradition alive, so you can look forward to all of that tomorrow. For Brad, for Connor, I am Bennett. Thank you so much for listening, folks. Be back here tomorrow at 4 o'clock. It is the Gary Parrish Show. We're on 92.9 FM ESPN.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.